And God has been teaching me lately why we go to church. We go to a meeting place. I know the church is people, it's not a building. But why do we gather together? Why have we come here this morning? Is it because we have nowhere else to go? What's the reason? You might have a reason. And for me, the reason is to encounter God with my brothers and sisters, to engage with Him some more, to know Him, to learn of Him some more, to worship Him, to declare His greatness, His lordship over my life and over the community, as it were. This morning, I'd like to address the issue of being with the Lord, being with Him. And when it comes to these issues, I do so passionately because they are so dear to my heart, so close to my heart. The fact that God wants us closer. This morning, we've been singing, "Oh Lord, how beautiful." How do we know He's beautiful? How do we know? Until we've been with Him, isn't it? Until we've been with Him, until we've encountered Him personally, we don't know He's beautiful. And He's a terrible God, is He? Someone said, we tend to dwell on God's love. We like that aspect. And sometimes we even go a little bit lower by turning God into a cuddly teddy bear. But the God I preach, the God I worship, is more than that. His love, that's one of His attributes. Okay? He's got other attributes. And His greatest attributes, Adrian Rogers says, is holiness. Did you know that? The greatest attribute of God is holiness. He's a holy God. And without holiness, we cannot see Him. Being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? If we are not, everything we do is religious formality. And God deserves more than religion. He wants us to be with Him. He wants an encounter with us to our own benefits. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Now we're reading from the first verse through to the 13th. Acts chapter 4. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Isn't that amazing? And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They marveled and realized that they had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Have you been to him for his cleansing power? Have you been washed thoroughly in his blood? Let's pray, shall we? Gracious Lord, we want an encounter with you. More than the ordinary, more than the physical, more than the mundane. We thank you for the privilege of being in your presence, because we are gathered together in your name and you are here. And there is liberty, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you for the privilege this morning. Lord, let your glory and your splendor, let your majesty fill this place now. And rain an anointing upon this gathering now. And let your power move amongst us now. Stir our hearts now. Stir our minds now. Deal with our will now, Lord. Have us, that we might truly be your temple, a people set apart for God, a people who have been hagiazoed, a people sanctified through and through. Lord, we ask for the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb. We want to bask in the fountain of life. We come to you unreservedly. We come to you just as we are, without one plea. We come that we might receive. We come that we might know. We come that we might deepen our relationship. Speak, Lord, today to us. Speak, Lord. Release a word into our lives, Lord. Revit our lives. Invigorate our lives. Stir us up. Stir this fellowship up. Move this fellowship forward to where it ought to be, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask for grace to be your spokesperson only, Lord, this morning. Speak plainly. Speak clearly. Speak, O Lord, into our lives, we pray. For we ask in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'd like to dwell on the verse 13 in particular. I don't have the time to do all the 13 verses. So just briefly scratch that verse, verse 13. And all I'll be discussing will be coming particularly from that verse. That verse informs my thinking. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I like that. They were uneducated. I like that. You don't need education to be with Jesus. So we have no excuse to encounter him. No one is exempt from encountering him. It doesn't matter which country you come from. It doesn't matter your weight. It doesn't matter your height. It doesn't matter what you do as a job. You can encounter him. They noticed that the disciples were uneducated. Of course, they were professional fishermen. And fishermen are rugged people. They're not bad people. We need their catch to live on, isn't it? We love the fish they catch. And so they do something very important, something very crucial. They were uneducated and untrained. The Pharisees, of course, are trained. They are the theologians of the day. But see, the disciples are not like them. The disciples haven't been trained and educated like the Pharisees. I'll just tell you quickly one of the qualifications of the Pharisees. You got to memorize the Old Testament. The whole of it. You got to have it here in your head. So everyone who calls themselves Pharisees have memorized the Torah. They know the Old Testament from cover to cover. That's just one qualification. Of course, the ceremonial, whatever, washing and dressing. And you should be able to read that. These letters here, I mean, here, that's Hebrew. You should be able to read that. And I think it says, I will not attempt it. I don't want to intimidate you, so I leave it. Uneducated, untrained. God is interested in everyone and anybody, wherever they are, on the face of the earth. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Can I ask you a question, please? When people look at you, do they marvel? Do they marvel? There is only one way people would marvel when they look upon us. When we've been with Jesus. When we've been with Jesus, people must marvel at us when they look at our lives. When they look at the way we live, our lives should be attractive. Our lives should bespeak of who we have been with the Lord himself, with the Master. For when the Master was on earth, it was said of him on an occasion, he doesn't speak to us like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, but he speaks to us as one with authority. He was different. They know the difference. Do you know the world knows the difference? There are many out there who are not Christians, but they know a true follower of Christ when they see one. And when they see one, they will marvel. Three things. In verse 13, we notice boldness. Boldness. Some of us have been Christians long before I was born. Is that true? That's true. She agrees with me. At least I have one witness here. Long before I was born. But I've been a Christian before some others became Christians. I'm old, but I'm not too old, you see. But the question I like to ask myself and you is, when was the last time we were bold enough to share the word of God with somebody else? We did a Bible study last Thursday and we're saying, we like to be nice. Tell them they are sinners, but say it in a nice way. How do I tell somebody they are sinners in a nice way? Can someone help me here, please? I like to learn that skill. Any better way, sir? He's only smiling back at me. Ah, okay. Well, I leave you in peace then. That's all right. But boldness, they were bold. The disciples were bold. They were not restrained by the fact that they were untrained and uneducated. They were bold in declaring Christ to the world. That's all we need. An encounter with Jesus Christ qualifies anybody, any believer, to be bold. When we read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Are there any Christians in this room? Let's see by hand. Believers, truly born again believers, are you bold? God has given you the spirit of boldness. Don't you dare say, "I can't anymore." Because God has given you a spirit of boldness. You can do it. Paul says, "I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For it is he who is at work in me, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure." We can be bold in a hostile world. The world today is hostile. Some group of people are fighting in Iraq right now. And the West is shaking because it is perceived that once they finish with Iraq, they will move to the West. The world is a hostile world. When Jesus came, right from day one, he was rejected. When his mother got engaged to his foster father, he attempted putting his mother away. That's rejection. When it came time for him to be born, there was no room for him anywhere humans lived. He was born in a manger. And as a child, they sought to kill him together with other children. And John chapter 1 verse 11 says, "He came to his own, but his own did not receive him." His own did not receive him. A man of rejection. The world does not want Christianity. But that is the very place God has placed us. God has placed us in the world, isn't it? Jesus said, "Although you are in the world, you are not of the world." We ought to be different. We are in a hostile world, among hostile people. They hate you just because you are a Christian. You are a follower of Christ. That's the only reason. But for nothing else. If you are not hated because of your faith, then check it. Check your faith again. They will treat us like they treated Jesus. They rejected him right from the one. So boldness. Do you lack boldness? You know what? Ask Jesus for boldness. He'll give you boldness. Some of us are in church, but we never do anything because we are not bold enough. We are not confident enough. But who gives boldness? Is it not God? Do you believe in God? And if you believe in him, why don't you ask him for boldness? Why do you lack when your Father, your God, has so much to give to you? So boldness, something to flag here. Secondly, I'd like to talk about the burden. When God emboldens the believer, he emboldens the believer as well. Now look at what they are doing here. They've been warned. In the previous chapter, they were at the beautiful gate. There was a cripple. And the cripple was expecting to be given an arm by Peter and John. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." That's why they are persecuting him. And they put them in jail because they preach the word. But they have a burden. Look at what Peter says in verse 12. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." He's got a burden. The very day we believed in Jesus Christ and became born again, that very day God gave us a burden for the world. Look into your right palm. Just look into your right palm for a moment. God has given a burden in that palm for the world, not for yourself, but for the world. We need to realize there is no other way to be saved but Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. God has put a burden in that hand for the world. The hope of the world is in that hand. And God put it there. Don't be silent. If you don't have the words, let your life non-verbally declare who God is. "But you shall receive power," Acts 1:8. So we got the power anyway to do this work. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When we read Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it talks about, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them." Go and make. That's a burden. That's a responsibility. The burden I'm referring to here has to do with a responsibility, with some assignment from God. I have a scripture which I've kept for many, many years. And when I give you my complimentary card, it's down there. 1 Corinthians 9:16. And it says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, for necessity is laid on me." But we preach not ourselves. Another scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:5, but Christ. We preach not ourselves, but Christ. A burden for the world, a burden for the lost. Why do we meet? Why are the leaders so preoccupied with what they do? Because of the burden. It's a burden of a different kind. A good burden. A burden for others who could be invited to come and taste of what we've got, what we are living by. a different burden. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 following, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we come to Jesus, we take upon ourselves his burden. The burden which sent him to Calvary, the burden which sent him to the cross. And that same burden should be carried by us every day, everywhere we go. You don't need to be like me, who has been sentenced to imprisonment in preaching the word. And Paul will say, "Thank God the gospel is not in chains, but I have been sentenced." And we all have sentences in our lives to be his witnesses. I'll share something with you which Warren Wisby said in reference to a witness. Witness is a key word in the book of Acts, and it's used 29 times as either a verb or a noun. A witness is somebody who tells what he has seen and heard. When you are on the witness stand in court, the judge is not interested in your ideas or opinions. He only wants to hear what you know. Our English word martyr, or the Greek martyria, comes from the Greek word translated witness. And many of God's people have sealed their witness by laying down their lives. We hear a great deal these days about soul winning. And the emphasis is a good one, Wisby says. However, while some of God's people have a calling to evangelism, all of God's people, can I say that again? All of God's people are expected to be witnesses and to tell the lost about the Savior. Not every Christian can bring a sinner to the place of faith and decision, though most of us could do better. But every Christian can bear faithful witness to the Savior. A true witness delivers souls, Proverbs says. We are all witnesses. That's another name for Christians. That's another name for followers of Christ. We are witnesses of him. We are witnesses of Christ. That's a life sentence. My life must be a witness, must be declaring what I know of him. And I can only know of him by being with him. Right? You know this man? You know him? You've been learning about him for how many years?
7 years.
You know him, don't you? You know his favorite food. You know what he doesn't like, and so on. I believe you've been in the church for a number of years, and there are people here you've known. Some may have been babies when you were here. You saw them, and they are nappies. And now they are married and have children. Is that correct? You know them. When we get together with Jesus, we get to know him. And in order to get together with Jesus, we ought to make the effort. We ought to set time aside. How much time, my brothers and sisters, do we set aside to know him on a daily basis, as compared with the time we set aside for our families? We talk about quality time, don't we? Quality time with our families. But do we spend quality time with Jesus? I'm not going to say we do or we don't, but you judge for yourselves. The burden here is a reference to being devoted to Christ, walking with him, talking with him, hand in hand, aware of his presence with you wherever you go. And of course, having the burden means to be his witnesses. Thirdly, I want to talk about blessings. So we are made bold, we are burdened, and thirdly, we are blessed. Isn't that nice? It doesn't go just like that. When we come to Jesus, we get blessed. Sometimes we dwell too much on the blessings. We put in the offering this morning, didn't we? By grace. How did we make the money? By his grace, isn't it? By grace, God has given us jobs to do. And from that, we brought him thanksgiving. Is that correct? That's part of the blessing. But I have a few I'd like to name or mention here. God rewards faithfulness. When we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is." He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward us. He will bless us. That's what the Bible says. When Peter and co preached the word, they got rewarded spiritually. Souls came to faith. But I'd like to mention a few things very quickly in relation to blessings. One is eternal life. Do you see me now? I've got eternal life inside of me. I've got the physical life. I've got eternal life. My life would not end. That's one blessing. And I've got instances of deliverance. God has delivered me. I've got some scars here, which remind me of 1983, 20th October, when I was involved in a terrible road accident. And people died right in front of me with whom I was traveling. And people had broken limbs. But then I heard the voice of God, "I saved your soul that you might serve me." 1983, the scars are there if you want to have a look. It's there. Can you see it? Can you see another scar there? Yeah, and I have a few here and there. And you should see me when I was being nursed back to health. I had a band here and a band there. And someone named me a warrant officer in the military. Because the warrant officers normally wear their ranks here on their wrist. It was a painful encounter. I said to God, "But God, I've just resigned from my job. And I'm in Bible College full-time." It was when I had resigned my job and gone to Bible College full-time that I got involved in this terrible accident. Never in my life had I been, you know, involved in an accident. But I knew God's deliverance then. And when I preach about God's deliverance, I have been there. I have tasted of it. And then you have his protection. And I can tell my own story again. I'm sure some of us can identify with that. God's protection on their lives. And fourthly, his healing. His healing. His healing. So these are some of the blessings that we would enjoy when we come to Jesus, when we stay away with him. One morning, R.C. Chapman, a devout Christian was asked how he was feeling. "I'm burdened this morning," he said. But his happy countenance contradicted his words. So the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened, Mr. Chapman?" "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." Seizing the puzzled look and seeing that look on the face of his friend, Chapman added with a smile, "I'm referring to Psalm 68, verse 19, which fully describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us that he daily loads us with benefits. He daily loads me with benefits. Some I see immediately, others I do not see. And I get excited when I talk like this. And I feel like jumping right now and hitting the ceiling. Because God is a good God. He's a relevant God today. And he wants to be relevant in our lives today." F.E. Marsh has enumerated some of these blessings. One, an acceptance that can never be questioned. Ephesians 1:6. Secondly, an inheritance that can never be lost. I have an inheritance, it will never be lost. You have got an inheritance. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Thirdly, a deliverance that can never be excelled. 2 Corinthians 1:10. A grace that can never be limited. 2 Corinthians 12:9. A hope that can never be disappointed. Hope that can never be disappointed. Hebrews 6:18-19. A bounty that can never be withdrawn. 1 Colossians 3:21-23. A joy that need never be diminished. John 15:11. A nearness to God that can never be reversed. Ephesians 2:13. Again, in Ephesians we read, for example, "For he has seated us together with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places." That's where we are. God wants us to be with him. He wants our company. He wants, like somebody said, a relationship. When we come to the Lord's table, it's to do with a relationship. It's to do with a relationship with him. Jesus would be saying, "As often as you drink this cup and eat this bread," or the other way, "As you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death till I come." It's a relationship. A nearness to God that can never be reversed. A peace that can never be disturbed. And peace like a river attendeth my way. Peace that can never be reversed or disturbed. And in the midst of trials and troubles, we can say, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." A righteousness that can never be tarnished. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I preached from that the last time I was here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Finally, a salvation that can never be canceled. I am saved. I am free. Jesus has set me free. I am wrapped up and tied up and entangled up with Jesus Christ. And no one can snatch me from him. I am in his hand. That's where I am. I am with him And he is with me. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, he washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Have you been to Jesus? Are you with him now? Is he with you? We ought to be with him. We ought to be in his presence. We ought to practice his presence, to know it, to be aware of it. It ought to be tangible to us. We ought to experience it literally, his presence. Otherwise, all we are doing is but vain, vain. A boldness in him, a burden, and a blessing or blessings. That's what we get when we come to him. He wants us to have all he has prepared, nothing reserved. Let's turn to him in prayer. Let's talk to God in prayer now. You pray, please. You tell him how you feel, what you think, after hearing what you have heard this morning. You talk to God. He loves you. He's waiting to hear you, to heed what you are placing before him right now. You talk to him. You know what's on your heart and what's on your mind. Talk to him now. In this room right now who have a need, peculiar need, a serious need. There is an anointing here right now. If there's someone like that, you want to stand up where you are, please. And let's pray together. Let's combine our faith to God right now. God's presence is here right now. His anointing is here. Do not waste time to stand up. If you have to, you are not standing up to me. You are not standing up because I have said so. You are standing up because God is asking you to do that. I want to pray with you before I sit down. Please. Move in her life. Flow, meet her at the point of her need right now. Touch. Let your fire dissolve every obstacle, everything in her life that must go. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, glorious Lord Jesus. Praise you. Your name be praised. Your name be glorified. Your name be exalted. Receive your breakthrough now. Receive your miracle in the name of Jesus Christ, child of God. Receive your miracle. Child of God, receive your miracle right now. Be filled with joy, be filled with peace right now. May that load be lifted off of you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We want to thank you. We rejoice in you. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your word we have heard. I commend your daughter to you. Take care. On this journey, walk through her life. Empower. Set her loose. Release her. Set her free. Receive your liberty. May the power of the Holy Spirit engage you right now where you are hurting. And may He set you loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive your liberty. Receive your breakthrough right now. Right now. Yes, take it. Receive it. Receive it right now. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take it in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive. Receive your breakthrough right now. Holy Spirit, work. Work in her life. Work in her mind, her heart, her soul right now. Right now. Be set loose, sister. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be set loose. Be set loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Be set loose. God empower you. God set you free in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the fire of the Holy Spirit burn every tissue, every ligament of difficulty, of challenge, of struggle, of trial in your life right now. Right now. May God turn your sorrows into joy, your defeats into victory right now. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch. I commit this dear man into your hands who is standing because he's heard your voice. Whatever reason, I don't know. But you know it all. And you paid it all. You paid the price for him at Calvary. Engage with him right now. And Lord, continue to engage with him until you have thoroughly and holistically engaged with him. Bring him to the place of victory and deliverance and joy and hope and peace and tranquility. Brother, receive the touch of God. Receive the might of God in your life right now. Receive the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Lord, breathe over him. Breathe into him. Breathe upon him. Holy Spirit, breathe upon him right now. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. Touch. I'd like to pray for this congregation, everyone here, irrespective of backgrounds and whatever. Lord, you continue to walk with them. Continue to walk with everyone in the fellowship until you have perfected your will in each one. And until your glory has been revealed in your splendor and majesty, continue to work in the fellowship we pray. Meet needs, Lord. Supply needs, Lord. Supply needs, Lord. Supply those needs, Lord. Meet those needs, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.